And then Ronaldo! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Out with Elise! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we are hot, and we are on the air. Aaron Raybould continues behind the glass. So tell me about this French teacher. I kind of came in on the back end of it.
He is a French kindergarten teacher. And he was recently removed from his job. And if you want, I can send you the article. But the pictures of him, if you don't like seeing, like if you get squeamish about certain things, like his whole body is covered in tattoos.
Wow.
The entire thing.
Jeez. So he got fired because of the tattoos.
Yeah, they let him go because of the tattoos. And not even that, like, he had the whites of his eyes completely blacked out with tattoos.
God, and that's the last part of my body I want anybody sticking a needle in and around is my eyes.
Yeah, same here.
I can't even comprehend that.
Like I said, it's fine that he wants to do it. It's his choice.
Of
you know, if you want to get inked up, cool. But you're a kindergarten teacher, so you kind of need to realize that, one, parents aren't going to like it. Two, kids at 5 years old are going to see you and think that you are either, like, the devil, or there's something actually wrong with you, and they're not going to be able to pay attention to school.
Oh, those kids are going to wake
up. I mean, at 5 years old, that's going
to
freak them out.
He could be the tattoo man, though, in a circus.
Oh, definitely.
Something like that. Okay. He's probably got his tongue tattooed as well, I would imagine.
I didn't see a picture of that, but, I mean, you can probably be a mechanic with that. No big deal. You can, you know.
Rock star?
You could do that if you're actually talented enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But teaching the next generation at a very young age. Now, if you're a high school or college professor, maybe, because maybe at that point they get old enough that they can look past it. But anything under like 15 years old, they're not going to be able to concentrate ever.
Pretty crazy. All right, so let's get to some soccer talk here tonight. We got a lot going on in this show, and appreciate you clarifying that story to me. By the way, Fred was pretty fired up about people not staying in their lane, whether they're bikers or on scooters, so that was pretty cool. So it was a good. You guys finished with a good segment there. I liked it. All right, Jeff Carlisle. He's reporting that the Dynamo were sealing the deal on re-signing Memo Rodriguez. Once again, that information comes in a different market from Houston, while Mateo Bahamic. So this is the player the Dynamo have been looking at. Plays for Instituto Atlético Central in Córdoba, Argentina. A journalist named Hernan Loren, a guy that's based out of Córdoba, Argentina. Lorino, I believe, is his last name. Excuse me. Says that Bahamic is going to be a Dynamo player. So there you go. Sunderland in England had renewed their interest in him as well. So if Bahamic comes to the Dynamo, he's going to add to the over 40 Argentines that are now playing in Major League Soccer. The latest, Gonzalo Higuain of Inter Miami, who ballooned that penalty kick into the 19th row in their last game against the Philadelphia Union. Emmanuel Reynoso, we saw him with Minnesota at BBVA against the Dynamo, Matias Vera of the Dynamo, Diego Valeri of Portland, on and on it goes. So Argentina, there's good values there. These are players that are very adaptable to Major League Soccer. Also from the physical side and the competitive side, we know what type of soccer players they are. So pretty interesting to see the direction this league is going. But Bahamic is really strongly being linked to the Houston Dynamo. Not that that's much different than last week. But in saying that, this is not a direct replacement for Albert Elise. This is a very different player. I've watched some footage of him. He is a winger type. He will bring width. I think that's probably a real priority for Tab Ramos. I'm not so sure about the two inverted wingers. And sometimes you have to make do with what you have. But I think Ari Lassiter coming in on the left and Darwin Quintero coming in on the right congests things to a degree. And look, in a 4-3-3, you can make all kinds of subtle changes. You can have one guy that brings you more width, like Elise did, and then the other like Quintero, who comes inside. You can have two outside backs getting forward. You can have one getting forward. But you do have to get width somewhere. So, interesting take. Look, the 4-3-3 with Barcelona this past weekend. What did they do? They don't believe Sergio Busquets can handle the role by himself. Well, Frankie de Jong next to him. That's what happens when players change. They can't cover as much ground. These positions are so vital in the game now, the axis. You can play with one of them or you can play with two of them, depending on the qualities of players. So this is the interesting thing about the 4-3-3 system and any system for that matter that you can change up. All right, Dynamo taking on Sporting Kansas City this weekend at BBVA Stadium. Tickets are on sale, so you can get in. And it looked, the last game we did there, the first one with fans, Eddie Robinson, myself, Cindy Bourbano on Channel 55, we'll do it again this weekend, pregame at 6:30. Last game we did, people looked really spread out. And I think the weather's going to be absolutely spectacular on Saturday for what I know. So I think it might be a great time to get out to BBVA Stadium and feel comfortable and feel safe. All right, guests tonight on the show, we'll have Dynamo coach Tab Ramos in the next segment. Jordi Sunyer of TV3 in Barcelona, Spain. I've had him on a number of times, just like Tab. He's going to weigh in on Lionel Messi, Barcelona, Ronald Koeman, and Messi's fractured relationship with the club president, Bartomeu. So there's a lot going on over there. We'll talk to him about that. I'm going to ask him for a dark horse in La Liga. And by the way, we'll talk about Ansu Fati as well, the 17-year-old. I'm going to ask him for an update on Conrad De La Fuente, an American that's played in some of the preseason matches for Barcelona, but not likely to be doing that in the near future. Federico Di Michelis of Toro Dynamo will come on the show. He is from Argentina. He will have additional takes on Mateo Bahamic, and we'll talk some Dynamo with Federico. And then Gianluca Busio. He's 18 years of age, Sporting Kansas City, has interest and has had interest from a number of teams in Europe, including Juventus, who, by the way, has won Weston McKennie. 2-2 draw this past weekend. We'll talk about that because there's a Houston connection to that game as well. But Busio will come on the show tonight. Very mature young man. He's been playing in the holding midfield role, that axis for Peter Vermes in Sporting Kansas City, and completely different role for him. So we will have Gianluca Busio on tonight. Really looking forward to that interview as well. So a real nice lineup here. For all of us, we got to remind ourselves here that Soccer Matters is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Look, you get in an accident, motorcycle, boat, you work in a refinery, you got to call John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And you know what? They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. And they have supported soccer. That's the thing I want to remind you with the sponsors on this show. They have supported the game of soccer. So think about that when you're making a choice. Now, if you need a personal injury attorney, well, then think of the Daspit Law Firm. If you need a real estate company, think of NB Elite Realty and Nebo Bandovic, the former striker and indoor goal scorer for the Houston Hotshots. If you're thinking about a good cocktail, well, then think about Lustau Vermouth. We'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. And if you're looking for a good place to go have a drink and watch some of the world's game, or maybe Liverpool, well, you head to Hugh O'Connor, 7620 on the KD Freeway. All right, hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters, Instagram, Glenn Davis Soccer, Glenn Davis Sock, and then glenndavissoccer.com. By the way, that's, if you don't know and you're tuning in for the first time and you want to know a little bit of the background of this guy who's talking about soccer, you go to glenndavissoccer.com. And then you'll find a little bit about me and credentials, because we all need them. And if you don't want to watch the political debates tonight and you want to stay away from politics, you can listen to this show, which I would love. Tomorrow, Bayern Munich will take on Dortmund in the German Super Cup. By the way, Augsburg knocking off Dortmund last weekend. Bayern Munich losing 4-1. We can talk about that. And if there's any fans of those clubs, well, you can call the show at 713-780-3776. Let's weigh in. 713-780-3776. I would love to get some thoughts from people about anything going on in Europe. Also, would love to get your thoughts on the Houston Dynamo. How do you feel things are up to this point now with the new manager, Todd Ramos, and what the Dynamo are doing right now? 1-1 draw in their last game. Boca Juniors coming up on BN Sport, too, by the way. Copa Libertadores, who just sold their player, Emmanuel Reynoso, who you saw at BBVA Stadium, to Minnesota. So, Argentines in high demand in Major League Soccer. A lot of deal-making going on down there, and buying and selling is obviously going to be a big part of it. All right, earlier today, Spurs eliminated Chelsea in the Carabao Cup. Some fiery interchange between Jose Mourinho and Frank Lampard, of course, from Mourinho, the former Chelsea coach. I wonder if all those Chelsea fans who just thought Mourinho was God, how they feel about that little altercation. Spurs fans, I really feel for you. Do you really love what Mourinho has done to this team? I know you're all in agony. I know you miss Mauricio Pochettino. I'm really interested to see where Pochettino lands next. And for those of you who are going to just tell me it's just about results, well, like the last segment of the Blitz, hey, man, blank that, okay? Because I look for more in football, in soccer, the way it's played, the nuances of the game. And I'm not bagging on anybody who is only in it for the result, but seems like you might be missing a lot of the beauties. And I also get it when you're a longtime fan of a club and you stay loyal and you have to go through tough times. No question. But I don't want that to be all you take out of the game. And that's why I like the fact that Todd Ramos is playing in a 4-3-3. It's certainly challenging. He inherited a roster. But I also like the fact that it's progressive. It's aggressive. That's the intention. And it's risky. And like any 4-3-3, risk is a part of it. And you're going to have to deal with counterattacks in games and being down in numerical situations, that is part and parcel of the system. And that means people are going to be running at your back four at times. Or your back four in a holding midfielder. It's going to happen. So, with that said, you saw that problem with Manchester City. And Manchester City got smacked by Leicester 5-2. Now here's Pep Guardiola. And you know how much influence he's gotten from Johan Cruyff and with Barcelona and his 3 years in charge of Barca where they won 14 trophies. Team that defined the game in the world. Probably one of three. So Guardiola says this about Leicester. He says, quote, they didn't want to play. They defended so deep, they just wanted to counterattack. That's because of the belief that Guardiola has from his time at Barcelona with Johan Cruyff about it's about the substance and the way you play the game as well. That's something that you hear with Todd Ramos. Doesn't mean these guys don't want to win. They do win. It's also how you win. Guardiola gives up 5 goals in his 686th game in charge. Leicester had 3 penalties in this. Hat-trick for Jamie Vardy. City looked really vulnerable, as I mentioned, on the counterattack, despite the fact that they dominated the possession. So you can look at it and go, oh, they dominated the possession. Woo-hoo. They gave up 5 goals. And again, stats, all this stuff that people are writing articles on and not watching games with their own eye to make their own opinion, they don't always quantify what goes on. Now, you can tell me that the Dynamo had big numbers this past weekend. You can tell me Sporting Kansas City had big numbers in their last game. They scored 1 goal and so did the Dynamo. Dynamo had 18-9 in shots over Nashville, 8 on target, 26 crosses, 57% of the possession. Now, if you watch that game, yeah, they had some chances from outside the 18, and yes, you know, it is a lower block, and you have to figure out ways to break that down. They did have some good looks from the 18-yard box, you know, from the top of the 18, especially Memo Rodriguez. He had five shots. Ball wasn't jumping off his foot as normal. Serie A, Juventus 2-2 with Roma. Berrettou had a pair. Roma was up 2-1. They pandered the crowd, and guess who's in the crowd? Houstonian Dan Friedkin and his son over there watching, in turn, Juventus and Roma. By the way, Cristiano Ronaldo, sick, had two goals in it. Weston McKennie started for Juventus, went off in the 58th for a more attack-oriented midfielder in our tour. At the time, Juventus was down 2-1, and Juventus looked very hittable on the counterattack under Andrea Pirlo and his match in charge. So he is the new manager. Expect them to be an attack-oriented team as well. All right, we're going to take a break here. Quick hit here. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. Any type of accident, car, boat, motorcycle, call 713-322-HURT. John and his firm will bring you a personalized approach. They're going to work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. Get that representation you need. DaspitLaw.com. We will take a Lustau Vermouth break.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm Tyler Adams, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
Roma need a hero. Juve have the hero. It is Ronaldo. And they do draw level, and crucially they do so just before halftime.
So Ronaldo would get their second goal. They were actually down a man. Rabiot got sent off, Juventus. Excuse me, as we come back with Sammy Hagar. That was for Fred because, you know, Fred's talking about the way people are driving these days. I can't drive 55. So Ronaldo, though, scores the equalizer in the second half. And, I mean, his hang time, I mean, it was like he hung in the air for like 4 seconds. Not only that, the vertical was unbelievable. And then he glances it into the side netting. And I don't remember, there was a study done. He's got a higher vertical. I don't know if it's from a running start or a standing vertical jump that tops NBA players. Pretty remarkable athlete. There's no question about it. All right, Houston Dynamo in action this weekend. They will take on Sporting Kansas City. Our next interview with Tab Ramos is brought to you by NB Elite Realty. And here is Tab Ramos ahead of Saturday's match.
Well, Tab, first I want to take you into Memo Rodriguez. And, you know, there's some obvious things we're seeing this year. He just seems more powerful, stronger, very similar to you as a player, a very strong, powerful, technical player. How about your thoughts on him so far this year?
Yeah, I'm really, really happy with how he's coming along and more importantly, how he has embraced a very difficult role within what we do. You know, I basically said to Memo, you're going to have to defend harder than you've defended before. You're going to have to track the ball down on the defensive third. And we expect you to get into the box on the other end. And you need to do that. And I know sometimes it's unfair to ask because it's a lot of running. But number one, I think you can do it. And number two, I think you can be an elite player in the league doing it. And he, you know, in all fairness to Memo, he has worked extremely hard on the defensive side. He has become someone who I think works hard to win the ball back for the team. And at the same time, we know that at the other end, any chances he gets, he's extremely dangerous. He has a great, very heavy shot with the right foot. And he has a great shot with the left foot as well. So I think for me that Memo is one of those guys that I think a year from now should be on the verge of being an international player.
Yeah, he has really grown immensely. All right, we keep it going here. Now, I know you got 8 games in October, a lot of games. I mean, it's the same schedule as all the other Major League Soccer teams. But we saw Nico Lemoine, Sam Junkwa, some of these others coming off the bench. Tell us about the depth and how important that's going to be in October, and that some of these guys we're imagining are going to get more minutes, right?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, as we move forward, we've been able to sort of go through the schedule, giving everyone opportunities to play. I think Marcelo Palomino is the only one who has not gotten on the field. Pretty much everyone else that we have here has contributed a certain amount of minutes. So we feel, and I mentioned this to the team a couple of days ago, that as we move forward now, we're likely going to move forward with more of a set 11. And then depending on, you know, whether guys are tired or whether there's an injury, someone else will come in. But I think we're at that point in the season now where we can't really afford to be messing around with the lineup. We kind of have to go with the lineup, and this is who we are, and do the best we can with who we are. And if someone gets injured, then obviously that player will be replaced.
Todd Bramos joining us, Houston Dynamo coach here, head of Sporting Kansas City this Saturday. Tickets still available. You can go to HoustonDynamo.com. All right, fourth game against Sporting Kansas City. Familiarity breeds contempt sometimes. How different a game will this be based on where the two teams are right now?
Well, I mean, I think what's happened before between the two teams, I think at this point doesn't matter, except for the fact that you know, coming into this season, maybe we thought we were quite far in terms of being at the same level as Kansas City. And I feel like our team should be confident that we can play with them. We've beaten them 2 out of 3 times. Of course, every time you beat a team, it gets harder the next time. And in particular for them, I think for both teams, this is a key game. You know, Kansas City's lost 2 in a row now. They're sort of, you know, they had a big lead at the top of the Western Conference, and that's now put them in a situation where they're practically only 2 points from the last team in a playoff spot. So right now they're really navigating games just like us, where I think every game is important to them. And, you know, when you find one of the contenders in a situation like that, they're a tough team to beat.
Todd Bramos joining us here. We're talking about Sporting Kansas City again this Saturday night. You can catch this game on Channel 55, or better yet, get a ticket, HoustonDynamo.com. Let's go back to the Nashville game and the final third, because, you know, statistically, if you looked at it and you didn't watch the game, I mean, you guys were dominant, 18-9 in shots, 8 on target, crosses, possession. At the end of the day, did you feel you were dangerous enough?
I think we were. I think, you know, Nashville made quite a few key blocks at the right time. You know, there was a ball that hit the heel of a defender, and then Joe Willis is already laying on the ground, and the ball just kind of falls on top of him. You know, Memo has a back heel from inside the 6-yard box that goes between the legs of Joe Willis, and then he grabs it. There were 2 or 3 shots from Mauro Manotas inside the box that got blocked by a toe. You know, it's just, we're just not getting that little bounce we need. And I think the important part is to continue to play with the same confidence that we have, because eventually, you know, things will even out. As long as we continue to believe, I think things will even out, and I think we'll start getting our goals, because at this point we're 3rd or 4th in the league in shot creation. And I think that has to at some point be rewarded with goals, and hopefully we'll get them.
Well, it did the last time against Sporting Kansas City. We felt it coming that time. Maybe it'll happen again on Saturday. So you mentioned Mauro Manotas. Let me take you into him and Christian Ramirez and maybe this competition for the number 9 position and what's going on there. And, you know, I know I've asked you this before, but I find it fascinating because Mauro's in a differing setup here and maybe having to play the game a little bit differently.
Yeah, I mean, we've been working with Mauro. Mauro and I have had some really meaningful conversations, in particular over the last couple of weeks, to talk about how he can get better. He has not been in his top form this year, and we're trying to get him there. And I believe that he's working really hard now to get there. You know, we certainly not having Albert here has changed his game a little bit. There's no question. But at the same time, he obviously has to assume that responsibility, and he is. He's assuming the responsibility right now, and I think that he'll just continue to get better week to week.
All right, when I think of you and all the work you did with all these young soccer players, not only from a confidence perspective, but helping to improve their game, define their positions, getting them to stretch their game, is that challenge there for Mauro? Look, you can stretch your game. You can become an even better player with more weapons in your arsenal playing this way. That's an example, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. We've been talking to Mara about the type of runs he makes into the box, about the type of diagonal runs he needs to make to get open. You know, at times, you know, he's in general a hard worker, and that you don't have to ask him about. I think it's a matter of having Mara be a little bit more selective on the timing of his runs. And so that type of thing we've been talking about with him, and he's really open about getting better. And about helping the team more than anything else. And so, you know, when you hear that type of thing out of one of your important players, then you know you have real hope for the team. Because if your main guys are tuned in on helping the team win, I think you have a good opportunity to go far.
All right, the 4-3-3 system, you're very identified with that. You love the system, there's no question. And your belief in it is big. Is there flexibility within it? Do you do things differently now that Albert Delis is gone? Are there little tweaks within the system? Because, you know, we all love to talk systems and numbers and all this stuff, but there is interesting little things that can be done and subtleties that you have done this year.
There's certainly tweaks just about every game. You know, there's certain games where, you know, you attack with both outside backs, and there's certain games where you have to keep one back. There's certain games where we defend with a box of four in the middle, including one of the outside backs. And there's certain games where we defend with a box of four in the middle with both central midfielders staying. So it really depends a little bit on the opponents. I think what doesn't change is our approach to the game. Our approach to the game is we want to have the ball and we want to come out from beginning to end to try to win the game. It doesn't mean that a certain time another team couldn't have possession for a little while, because that happens at times. But I think that approach has been clear. And, you know, when we talked at the beginning of the year about the fact that whatever happened before with the Houston Dynamo, because obviously every coach is different. So no one, I think, is better than the next one. But I did mention from the beginning that my approach was going to be, regardless of whether we play home or on the road, we were going to try to take charge in games. And I think we've done that. I think the team has bought into that. And I'm not saying bought in a bad way. I'm saying bought in because they believe that's the best way to play, and they're happy doing it. And I'm happy with that. You know, the fact that, unfortunately, there's been three or four ties that should have been wins for us. You know, you add those 6 or 8 points to where we are now, and we'd be first in the table. I'm not saying, you know, if you get a certain win, that maybe another tie wouldn't be a loss, because, you know, things even out. But at the end of the day, we're in the situation we're in now, but we're very close from being one of the top three spots in the Western Conference. So, not sure we deserve that at the moment, but I think it's been that close.
Tab, do you think this year, just based on the challenges with COVID and all, is it? I know it's additionally challenging for coaches. I guess what I'm saying is the degree of difficulty to find some level of consistency, I got to think it's incredibly hard for you and all the other coaches in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all on the same, you know, playing field there, you know, so it's difficult for everybody. So I don't think anyone has an advantage with that. It's difficult for everyone. Obviously, for a new coach trying to implement sort of a new, not only a new system, but a new culture within the club, a new belief, makes it a little bit harder. But having said that, you know, I think we're in a good place. You know, obviously the Albert situation was a little bit of a distraction for a good month and a half. That we really didn't need. But unfortunately, that happened also. And now that we've put that behind us, we can just focus on the future.
Tab Ramos joining us here on ESPN 97.5 Soccer Matters. We appreciate Tab coming on the show tonight. If I take you into, again, back to Sporting Kansas City and competing with your great friend Peter Vermees again, is there any times where you guys are like, geez, you again?
Well, I'm sure it will be like that this time, although he's much more used to playing against the same coaches all the time because he's been in the same position for 10 years. So it's a little bit different for him. For me, it's kind of unusual, you know, playing a team for the fourth time already this year, you know. As you know, I have a lot of respect for Peter and what he does with his team. And I feel like some of the things we do sort of are very similar to what he does in Kansas City. We have the same approach in terms of, you know, trying to get our players to be aggressive and to find the ball. So there's a lot of things that I admire about how he coaches. And I think it'll be another fun challenge, because it'll be fun for both, because certainly they know by now that, you know, we've beaten them 2 out of 3 times. So, it didn't just happen by chance. It happened because we're also a good team.
Wilfried Zahibo, he was the big signing, got hurt early, as you mentioned to me in a prior interview against Colorado, kind of tried to carry on. How's he doing? Is he getting closer? Because I'm sure you could use him in October as well.
Yeah, so Will practiced today for the first time with the team. He was able to practice, I would say, maybe about 60%. So if I'm just going to take a guess, I'm hoping that Wilfried will be ready in the next 10 to 14 days to be able to contribute to the team.
Excellent. Well, last one before I guess I let you go is just simply playing back at home here. And you know, the last 4 games, you've conceded the first goal. That's a bit of a challenge. And I know that's not something you like as a coach because it gives opponents a tactical advantage. But, you know, how do you address that with the team? Because you have shown the ability to come back. There's no question, which this team has not been able to do in past years. But I don't think you like spotting people to lead either.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a fair question because I think we could always point to the fact that, you know, I know that many believe that we leave ourselves exposed in the back a little bit. And that's true. That's part of what we do. And it's a risk that I'm willing to take with the way I like to play. And so sometimes we are exposed in the back and our players know, and we've addressed this. And I've said to the players, hey, look, you know, this is my fault. Sometimes we're exposed in the back and it's my fault. It's not yours because this is what I'm doing. I said, but at the same time, I know that we're doing well going forward. One thing we can't do is obviously go game to game with having to come back. And so every, you know, at least the last 2 games, I've said to the team, hey, let's start playing like we finished the last game, but without being a goal behind. And, it's obviously difficult. And we've been a little bit unfortunate, to be honest, because we even against Chicago in the 4-0 loss, we had 2 chances before they even scored. And unfortunately, we weren't able to put ours away. And against Nashville, it certainly was the same because we dominated the whole first half. So we're not putting the ball in the goal right now. That's the only thing we can look at. But I can tell you that on Saturday, we're coming out to win the game from minute one.
Dab, always enjoy the interviews. Thank you very much for always giving us our time on the radio here. And we look forward to Saturday and best of luck against Sporting Kansas City.
All right. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it.
So Tab Ramos there, the Dynamo have scored 5 goals in their last 5 games, but you go back to Sporting Kansas City, that 2-1 late win from Amora Minota's header on September 5th. That's the last Dynamo win. They had a 1-1 draw with Colorado, 2-1 loss at Dallas, 2-2 comeback against Minnesota United, Chicago, the 4-0 loss, and then Nashville 1-1. So this Saturday, Sporting Kansas City in town. So what do you learn from that interview from him? Well, that's a coach that takes responsibility. That is a passionate coach. He is very open, confident about talking about his team. He's an absolute gem from the media perspective and the coach's position. Absolute gem. I mean, not afraid to talk the game of soccer. He's going to make a great analyst one day if he ever wants to get out of coaching. So good stuff there from Tab Ramos. Let's go to the phone lines and AJ. AJ.
Hey, Glenn. How you doing?
I'm good, AJ. How are you?
Hi. Quick question. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. It's kind of breaking up.
All right. Okay. So the question I have is Ronaldo Peña, what's up with the striker? You know, I mean, he goes to Orlando, plays a little bit. Feel like he had a good 15, 20 minutes when Manotas got injured. Haven't heard from him ever since. I don't know if he's at Rio Grande or what the expectations are for him, but he has been here 3 years and very limited play.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I wish I had asked Tab Ramos, but I think I have some insight on it. I think in the pecking order of strikers, he's down the totem pole. I think that if you remember, he had a pretty serious injury. That has also slowed him. Now, I remember calling his game at the Youth World Cup, and him and Peñaranda for Venezuela, they got all the way to the final only to lose to England, and he was a big player on that team. Problem with him is you saw Wilmer Cabrera try him last year as a wide player. He's not a wide player. He to me, he's a center forward, and he's a guy that has to be in the number nine, and I think he's down the pecking order. Now, it's difficult for me because I'm not at training session, so I don't know what's going on from that standpoint, but I think right now he's certainly behind guys like Mauro Manotas and Christian Ramirez, and a young player. Work ethic, physical, but not a natural winger. So, you know, he's a center forward, and I think he's having a hard time getting minutes. But I thank you for that question. All right, we'll take a break here. This is a song by a band that was called Reflex. It's called The Politics of Dancing. It actually was a pretty cool song. I found out about these guys. They opened up for the Rolling Stones, I think, in the old Astrodome. They had a bunch of, like, mannequins on the stage. It was weird. But it was a cool song. Good rock and roll. Or dance music, I guess. This is more 80s. Here, take a listen to this. That's a pretty cool song. All right, stay with us, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. When we come back, we'll bring on Federico De Michelis of Toto Dynamo. We're going to go a whole Dynamo segment here. Now, by the way, during this segment, you can call in. So I want to see who's staying away from politics tonight, who's listening to the most important thing on the radio tonight, Soccer Matters, or on the Internet, and call in with your thoughts. That was a great question on Ronaldo Pena. 713-780-3776. Soccer Matters is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPNHouston for 20% off. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Silva, a bolas, ahí está. Lo pone a Bajamich. Ahí está, Bajamich. ¡Gol! ¡Gol!
You know, we're cultured here on Soccer Matters. I've been to operas. We're cultured here. Welcome you back to the show. We're in a very calming moment here in a world that's not very calm. And we bring on our next guest, Federico De Michelis of Toto Dynamo. Federico, how are you?
How are you, Glenn? Thank you for that music. Appreciate it.
Well, we're going to reveal some things about Federico in a minute, but right now we got to get to Mateo Bajamich. All right, so lots of reports out of Argentina. You've been on top of this story, Federico. Give us the latest on it, and if you think this is a done deal for the Dynamo, like it's being reported.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of talk for the past month. You know, Dynamo has been after him. I've spoken with Tab about it. He's confessed, you know, that there's been interest, that they like him, that they're after the player. Apparently, the money that Dynamo was offering was okay, but not the way that they were planning to pay. Today, I think those negotiations have moved forward, and hopefully we'll have news tomorrow. But yes, apparently it is a done deal.
Yeah, so that was the thing that came out, and I think you and I might have talked about this, and Victor Ariza, that there was something about the fact that this is a club that needs, like many, is in need of finances and resources, and that there was something about the installment of payments or something that was kind of a hitch in the deal.
Yeah, especially nowadays, you know, with the whole COVID situation, there's no income for clubs, you know, so it's important for them to have some liquidity, and as soon as that money can come, the sooner that they can get out of, you know, debt and problems with their own staff and things that they have to pay. So I think probably, they've talked about that. They solved it, and hopefully, if my sources are accurate, tomorrow we'll be having some news about Mateo.
All right, Federico De Michelis joining us of Toto Dynamo. Give him a follow at Toto Dynamo on Twitter. Federico, just take me into now, you being an Argentine. You know, this league now has over 40 Argentine players in it now. There's great value down there. We all know that. Some of the clubs are struggling financially. Makes it a buyer's market for Major League Soccer in many cases. We've got everybody from a Gonzalo Higuain and that level of guy that's had huge European success and has played for Argentina, down to maybe more unknown players like Matias Vera and Mateo Bahamic, who are obviously tremendous players in their own right. Just kind of take us into that maybe a little bit deeper from your perspective, because this is your country.
Yeah, no, I think it's natural, not only because of the quality of Argentine players that is no secret to the soccer world, but also because of the plans of the MLS as a sort of trampoline kind of league, you know, between some of those leagues in South America, not only Argentina, but also I'm sure Brazil will come strong in the next couple of years. And, you know, we know about the Central Americans that play, for example, for us, for the Dynamo, but of course, you know, it's great business for everybody. It's great for the league in terms of soccer, you know, in terms of the quality of players that you can bring, and it's also good for business, you know, for the players, for the agents, for the clubs down in Argentina, and for the MLS as well, because you know we've seen it with Piti Martinez, we've seen it with Almirón, for example. You know, they're being big sales for players that came from South America and that left a big, you know, a big amount of money here in the MLS.
Now, you cited Atlanta. Atlanta has done some of the biggest buying and selling and may really have set the bar higher for everybody else. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, they definitely have. And that's a good thing. You know, I think that's a good thing. We've seen, you know, something happening here with Elise. And, you know, despite what we can think or argue about what the, you know, if it was a good, you know, a good sell or not, at least to start having the conversation about players going from MLS, from Dynamo in particular, to Europe, I think it's something positive in general.
All right, so Albert Elise, if I made you general manager of the Houston Dynamo, when would you have sold him? Would you have sold him the same way, or would you have done it earlier? Because
no.
I probably would have done it earlier when his valuation was high. It's easy to say from our standpoint, but we're playing general manager right now.
100%. 100%, because, well, the thing is that the whole club was different. No, and I was hearing the interview with Tab just now, and one of the things he said that I found, you know, most interesting is that you're not only being a coach, he's also trying to change the culture of a club, you know, and I think that's what it's about as well. You know, you know that players are not going to stay here forever. You know that when they have a good season, you have to, you know, balance your opportunities and see what's best for the club, for the future, for the player, and for everybody. You know, so you know, definitely the time for selling Elise was before, and hopefully we won't make that mistake again. For example, with Mauro, who might be in a similar situation soon. You know, so but Mauro, I mean Manotas. So we'll see. We'll see.
Federico De Michelis joining us of Toto Dynamo. If I go back to some of your thoughts on Albert Elise and Tab Ramos, you know, this is an interesting thing because, I mean, at the end of the day, he comes in, he inherits a roster. The dance is going on with Albert, which has been going on. You know, I'm gonna relate it to your country. This was a tango that's been going on for a year and a half. You know, I mean, you know, it was every other month something was coming out in the Honduras papers about his desire to go to Europe. And to his credit, he wanted the move.
Yeah,
to
and anytime, yeah, anytime you talked with him here, but you know, after any game, any interview, anything, you know, that was one of the things that he made sure he said, you know, in any opportunity he had. And you can't blame him. You know, it's good that the question is how did the organization miss it as a business opportunity, you know, knowing how willing the player was. And, of course, you know, a player like Elise, you don't want to lose a player like Elise. You know, it makes sense. But you also maybe at the time you didn't have the vision that now you have with Ramos, who knows very well young players from all over the world, and that he also knows how, you know, what potential is and how to exploit it in a better way. And I think this new era with Tab might be very beneficial for the Dynamo in that respect, you know, and the idea of what the club wants, you know, and having an identity as a team and as a club as well.
Well, there's no doubt he's a very inclusive guy. That I like. Very, very inclusive. Very, very open, as you know, in the interviews, because I know you've interviewed him a lot, like we have on this show. But you just get the sense when you're talking to him, he loves talking soccer, you know, and it's just like, it just flows. It's great. And, you know, after prior regimes, and we're not going to talk about that too much, but you know, there was not a lot of line of communication to the media. And then you have to wonder, if you're not allowed to practice, you have to wonder what the line of communication was to the players. These players seem to really love to play for Tab.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's a pleasure, you know, like I like talking soccer with you and with the people that follow us on social media and with anyone, you know, at any given opportunity, to have the opportunity to talk soccer and tactics and you know, of those things that we love and that I think are important to generate the soccer culture that Houston needs with the you know, the coach off the team. I think it's very important. And, you know, him being bilingual as well, you know, and having had a great career as a player, you know, fantastic career as a player as well. So it's great. I mean, I hope things stay like they're going. You know, there's always room to make progress. Of course, the team is yet not where they want to be. You know, there's still a lot to improve. But, you know, at least I think we're all, or maybe I speak for myself, I am very hopeful of what the future might bring for Houston right now.
Yeah, I think it's more uplifting to really cover and follow the team right now. And I think some of the fans are beginning to see that. By the way, tickets are available for Saturday, HoustonDynamo.com. All right. So you said some things to be worked on in the 4-3-3. What would they be for you?
Some defensive transitions. I think that's where we've been hurt the most, because there's a lot of movement with the two, you know, the left back and the right back, Lundqvist and Valentin going up a lot. And sometimes those transitions hurt you because you end up defending with three. You know, Vera tries to stay back, and then you depend on a good play by Kiki or Figueroa or whoever it is, Fuenmayor or Cabrera. That, you know, they've all been great. I think the rotation has been very good. Minor has had maybe a few questionable, you know, decisions with the ball, but at the same time, hey, he's one of our strikers now. So I mean, you can't have it all, right?
Yeah, and listen, I mean, I think what some people fail to get, Federico, is this system, you are going to get caught in these situations.
Absolutely, absolutely.
When that ball is lost and you're committing people into attack, and sometimes you got both outside backs forward, this is the way it works. It works this way with Liverpool. It works this way with Manchester City, you know, and – if you look at the roster now, you're going to have to look at areas where in the offseason things are going to have to be improved. I think that's a fact. I don't think that's anything that's going out on a limb, quite frankly.
No, I agree 100%. And I also agree with Tab, you know, where you say, okay, and with what you were saying earlier today, you know, you when you see, for example, the amount of chances that Houston had last game, sure, you know, you see 18 shots, and it's true there were 18 shots, but maybe they were not the most dangerous of opportunities. That being said, you know, Nashville was playing with you know, a 4-4 that wouldn't move. You know, their backs wouldn't, you know, attack at all. You know, they were just worried about defending and taking advantage of a counter. But Houston, I think the one thing that Houston has been lacking that worked extremely well when it worked, it's just putting the ball in when you have to, you know, and have Mauro back in his best shape, or Christian, or whoever it is. But, you know, you have to score. You have to, you know, if you create the chances, you also have to put them in, because if not, it becomes very dangerous very quickly.
Well, it's four straight games the Dynamo have conceded the first one. They're going to want to reverse that. And, by the way, the last time that the Houston Dynamo really broke out, well, it was the time we were kind of talking the same way, and it was against Sporting Kansas City in the 5-2 game. So Federico, by the way, I'm gonna out him right now. He's an opera singer. Can you give us a little? Can you hit a few scales for us before you go?
I don't know if people would like to hear that.
No, come on, Federico, you could do it. I've heard you.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. I can. What I've been doing when I've been calling some games in the past is, you know, you add some vibrato to the goal scream, like the one you were playing now with Bajamic, but with some vibrato, you know, goal.
That's awesome. Yeah. I want you over at my house tomorrow, and I want you to teach me that, because that's going to be my signature. Okay. You're hired. You're hired. We're going to work on this in the morning. I'll get some honey and lemon and things for the throat. Federico, thanks for coming on. I really enjoyed the interview, and that was a tremendous way to finish it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on, and hopefully we'll hear about Matteo Bajamic tomorrow.
All right, there you have it from Federico De Michelis, Toto Dynamo, at Toto Dynamo on Twitter. We'll take a break right now. It's a Loose Style break.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!